The Earring Podcast, brought to you by Nick City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 201 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great, great show for you today. We don't normally do this, and I normally don't like to. But I've got more than one guest on the show. It's three wonderful people. Carly Nicholas, Alyssa, and Jenny from the band The Catch, who was a band a while back. And they're playing a reunion show, one time only, here at the Crocodile on June 25th. Wednesday, June 25th at 8 p.m. And it's only $12. And you can see The Catch once again. If you are from Seattle, these ladies were kind of a big deal back 10 years ago, a little bit less than that. But yeah, they were a big deal. I remember seeing their posters all over the place. I had never seen them live, and I think we'll get into that a little bit because I was extremely jealous of this band, and I don't know, I think it was just because, like, I was basically jealous of every band in Seattle that was doing something that my band was not doing, and that it kept me from seeing a lot of cool music, because I would just have this chip on my shoulder about certain bands, and The Catch was one of them. I still really like their music, and I to this day don't know why I never went and saw their show. But we have a great conversation. It's very whiskey fueled, and we get into it a little bit. Why they broke up, circumstances surrounding that, and getting back together and how it feels, from taking so many years off, and getting back into the swing of things. It can be a little bit of a daunting task, right? And so these ladies are nice enough to sit down with us, feature some of their music, and chat with us a little bit about what's been going on and the reunion show coming up. Once again, Wednesday, June 25th, 8 p.m. at the Crocodile here in Seattle, Washington. The Catch, Aqueduct, and Tennis Pro. You may remember Phil Peterson. He was on the show. He's in Tennis Pro. They've got, man, oh my God, speaking of Tennis Pro. So the SIFF Music Festival has been going on, right? I think it just ended. And man, Tennis Pro's movie, Big in Japan, did really, really well. Just getting fantastic reviews all over the city. Along with, like, all the other different film festivals around the country as well. Just getting fantastic reviews. And we were lucky enough to have Phil on. So if you have a chance somewhere around the country, if you have a chance to see Big in Japan, the film Big in Japan, it's about this band Tennis Pro. Go and see it because it's fantastic. It really is. It's such a great show. Let's get a couple of these things out of the way here, folks. We got to remind you, we're doing this giveaway right now. Right this instant, if you go and you like us on Facebook, the Air Raid Podcast on Facebook, or you follow us on Twitter, at Air Raid Net, you will automatically be entered to win two tickets and camping for free for the Timber Outdoor Music Festival happening July 24th, 25th, and 26th of this summer, man. Yeah, two tickets and free camping, people. To the awesome Timber Outdoor Music Festival held in Carnation, Washington. This year, they've got Charles Bradley is headlining the show. Hey, what about Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr.? He's going to be out in the woods playing some tunes for you. Damien Jurado. Oh, my God, man. I mean, it's going to be so awesome. Rocky Vadalato. All going to be there at Timber this year. This is the second annual Timber Outdoor Music Festival. I mean, a river goes through this festival. And you can actually, there's going to be boats there provided by REI that you can take out for free if you've got a ticket. Let us send you to Timber Outdoor Music Festival this summer. Serious people, seriously. And you'll be able to meet me too, because I'll be out there hanging out with my daughter. It's going to be awesome. I'm really super excited to take her to a music festival. I really got to get on getting her those little ear things, earphones, earmuffs. There you go. That's what I got to do. But yeah, let us send you to the festival, guys, for free. Timber Outdoor Music Festival happening 24th, 25th, and 26th. Just like the Air Raid podcast on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Air Raid Net. And you'll be automatically entered to win. If you're already liking us and already following us, then so be it, man. You're already entered in to win the contest. So there you go. We're going to pick a winner on July 6th. And we'll state it on that episode, which will air on the 7th. So it'll be, you know, it'll come out on the 7th, and then we'll, you know, post it a little bit later on the socials and stuff like that so people can find out. Okay. Hey, smooth transition time into our wonderful sponsors who make this show run, by the way. Yeah, they help keep the lights on here in Backyard Studios. And let me tell you, man, we are, you know, to be totally candid with you and totally truthful, we're having a little bit of money problems here. And if it wasn't for Naked City, this show would not be going on because it takes a lot of time, a lot of money to keep it running. And if it weren't for, you know, the wonderful people at Naked City Brewery and Tap House and their awesome beer and their awesome food, this show would probably be in a gutter somewhere just puking all over itself. See, I'm what's that called? Never mind. I'm going to cut that out. Naked City Brewery, man. I was just there last night watching Laugh Riot, this new comedy show that's going to be taking place once a month. It's so good. Oh, my God. Our buddy Derek Sheen is doing it. We're going to try to get him here in the backyard to talk about it for a couple minutes in a little while. But, man, oh, my God, it was awesome. And they held it in the screening room where we did our live show. And it was fantastic. There were a bunch of people there. It was great. It was so great. It's every second Saturday at Naked City Brewery there on Greenwood Avenue North in Seattle, Washington. Wonderful place, man. And wonderful people, wonderful fucking, it's just, it feels good being inside that building. It's very comfortable. It's very comfortable. And they've got great beers, man. Great beers and really, really good food. So go and check them out, will you? You can find them on the web at nakedcitybrewing.com or on Facebook and Twitter. And just go into there. Go into there and tell them that you heard about them from the Air Raid podcast, because that helps us out. Helps Naked City out, because you're buying their beer and their food. And then we all win, right? And then this show stays on the air. So there. Okay. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's talk with Alyssa, Carly, and Jenny of the band The Catch. This was a lot of fun. Like I said before, I don't normally have three people on at the same time. I don't normally like doing it. But I do like all these ladies, all these people that were on today or a little while ago. And I loved getting a little drunk with them and walking down memory lane with them. It was pretty cool, man. And there was a little bit of motion. I don't know if you can tell if it comes across in the audio, but there was a little bit of emotion going on in this room as they were kind of recounting this tale of how they got together and then how they ultimately broke up. So yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I hope you guys really enjoy it. We're featuring music today off of the Ketch's album that came out in 2005 called Get Cool. This song is called Empty Your Pockets, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears, folks. Stay with us.
I wasn't in the Ketch to start with, and I met Carly through a mutual friend, Shane Berry of The Divorce, and he was like, Jenny, you have to hear this band. They're just like you. They're super sassy, bratty ladies, and so that's how I ended up at the Crocodile. was to see you guys. I may have met you through Shane earlier than that, Carly, but I do specifically remember going to the Crocodile, seeing the Ketch pre-me, and being so jealous of all of you up on stage. And
you had a bass player before that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember who we were playing with?
I don't, but you looked fantastic as usual. And I went, and I just thought it was really empowering to see all of you with your instruments and feeling very jealous. And it wasn't very long after that I had been to Ladyfest Olympia, mm-hmm. where I felt really empowered to learn how to play music on my own, regardless of, you know, what expectation would be, that I didn't have to be perfect at it.
Sure.
And I could just, you know, pick something up and kind of figure it out, but I didn't have an opportunity. So I saw these ladies, and they had been very supportive of each other. Only, I think, Alyssa had like a trained musical background. She was classically trained in drums. Is that right? Yeah. And I was a little jealous. So I do have a specific memory of meeting Alyssa that night, walking across the street from the Crocodile to her car, which we lovingly called Umlaut, and doing some illegal stuff in there. It was legal back then. It's not so legal now. And loving her because she was so engaging and just so nice. And you had short hair and also were looking adorable. Then it wasn't very long after that the bass player left. And I was getting, or my boyfriend at the time was getting his hair cut by Carly.
Yeah.
And she offers me the position in the band. She said, Jenny, you know, do you play bass? And I said, no. And she said, well, you know, do you want to learn? And I said, fuck yeah. I said, give me 2 months. And then in 2 months,
You gave yourself 2 months to learn how to play the bass.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now I'm jealous of you.
Pretty much. I had help. Jimmy of the Dwarfs gave me his cabinet. Uh-huh. Gabe from The Pale taught me some of the catch stuff. And Jimmy also gave me his bass, his Dan Electro bass.
Nice. Nice.
And so I got up to speed really quick. And they were patient with me in the beginning. You know, I needed to do things over and over or play songs that they knew by heart at that point. And I was just off and running.
So Jenny, Carly, Alyssa of The Catch reunited here in the backyard.
Here in
your
backyard?
You guys don't understand that this is how I get... Carly's like, what the fuck? Welcome to the backyard, you guys. Thank you so much for coming.
We hope that we'll be together again after tonight in some way.
Well, let me tell you my first Catch experience.
Oh,
was
yes.
I saw a Catch poster in the, I think, what year did you guys start?
2000.
2000?
2001. Yeah, 2001.
Okay, so it must have been like 2002, I think, and I saw a Catch poster in the practice spaces that I was playing at with
Where?
My band. Down on...
The institution?
No, it was, I can't remember where that first place was.
What neighborhood?
Well, we eventually moved to, and it wasn't too far away from where our first place was, but it was, what was that place called that was down in Soto? Or just above Soto. It was like near the Goodwill or the Salvation Army.
I
remember Beatbox or Talkbox or something like that?
Yeah, vaguely. I kind of know what you're talking about.
So I saw a poster of you guys, and I was like, that poster looks really cool. Why does my band have a poster like that?
What was on the poster?
It was just a show poster. It was like you guys were playing it.
Was there a photo of us where we looked really cool?
Yeah. And but it was of you rocking out, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was like a shot, an action shot.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I was totally jealous. Like my band couldn't get a show at the Comet. We were awful.
Are you sure it was the Comet?
That was my first catch experience. Was just seeing your poster. I never saw you guys play live. So I'm really excited to see it on June 25th.
Yeah. At the Crocodile.
At the Crocodile here in Seattle. When did you guys call it quits? When did things end?
Well, it depends on...
Get right up in there.
It depends on how you define that. So Jenny and I left the band in early summer of 2005.
Uh-huh.
But Carly and Amy kept playing for a couple of years after that with a different drummer and bass player. So if you're talking about the lineup that's going to be playing most of the songs on the 25th, the all-female lineup, then it would be 2005. But Carly, when did The Catch stop playing altogether?
We played our last show in 2008.
2008.
At the High Dive.
Yeah.
In Fremont. Yeah.
Did you know it was going to be the last show?
No.
No?
No.
Neither time.
Oh, yeah. No. So why did you two leave? What happened?
Well, I think there's a moment in the life of anybody who's in a band where you stop and you say, am I going to quit everything and go for it?
Uh-huh.
Or am I not?
Yeah.
And for me, that moment came at the end of our tour in 2005. It was a lame time to quit the band, by the way. I should say that we sold out the Crocodile and our record came out and then I ruined everything by quitting. So I'll own that.
Yeah.
Right. Straight up. But I felt like it was quit everything and go for it or don't. And for me, the answer was don't.
Yeah.
It was not easy.
What about you, Jenny? What was the reason?
Well, primarily my photography business is in a place. I shoot a lot of weddings, and with weddings you need to commit a year in advance to be available.
Oh, sure.
Usually 6 months to a year in advance.
Yeah.
And it was kind of exploding for me. And I also had a full-time job during the day at the time, and I knew Alyssa was leaving, and I was like, well, do I commit to building my wedding photography business, or do I commit to building the Catch? And I felt that if I stayed with the Catch, it wouldn't be for very much longer. So I wanted to be honest with them and myself.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Leaving then was probably the best time to bow out.
Yeah. Was it hard for you guys to do that?
Absolutely.
I'd say it was it was one of the most heartbreaking times of my life. I've never had a breakup with a guy that was anywhere near as difficult for me.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like when I quit my band, which was way worse, not saying, God, that came out wrong. I was going to say way worse than your band, but your band wasn't bad. You got shows and stuff. Yeah.
We had posters.
You had posters up in other people's practice spaces. No, my band was not very good, and we didn't do too much. We never went on tour or anything like that, but I did feel like I was breaking up with a girlfriend when I quit. You know, it was bad. It felt awful.
I would say that these three women are in the top four loves of my life.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Does Andrew know that?
He does, and, okay, you know, good. He's got some guys in his top, I guess.
He's number
six.
Four.
Yeah. He's number four. So, Carly, what did it feel like for you? You were the one that stuck with it. Tell me your side of the story.
Oh, man. It was really sad for me.
Uh-huh.
To have them leave, especially, you know, as it felt sort of like momentum was building. But I understood, you know, where they were in their lives. And, you know, ultimately, Amy and I decided to keep playing. And we got to play with Garrett Lunsford of, you know, The Divorce, mm-hmm, and
mm-hmm. Ships.
Currently Ships, and he's also DJ Nitty Gritty. He does a million things and is, you know, one of the best guys on the planet. And Justin Harkis of The Pale Pacific, and which ended up being like a really, really fun and cool experience.
Sure.
And, yeah, you know, we wrote some of my favorite songs together, and, you know, so that was sort of the happy side of them leaving. Yeah, but yeah, it was really sad when they left.
Well, I imagine that changes the dynamic a bit too, right? I mean, you were an all-girl band.
Like, completely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then two dudes come in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much the specific genders of the, you know, the new people coming in had to do with it. Obviously, you know, it has some, you know, it changes the dynamic, as you said, for sure, yeah, you know. Yeah. But it was more just kind of like, you know, we had been playing as a foursome for however many years and really devoting so much of our lives and time to it. And it just was such a huge part of our lives that, you know, it was more about those specific relationships, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And Carly and I founded The Catch together. Kind of like our entire friendship was based on a random idea that we had at the same time.
What was it?
To have a band. That was the idea. But it was, I threw this party in early 2001 called the Panty Party. Mm-hmm. And it was for all the girls we knew to exchange lingerie with each other.
It's still going strong.
It still happens on an annual basis.
Yeah, right on.
It does. But we invited all the girls we knew. And Carly was one of them. I didn't know Carly. I don't know if we'd had really more than one or two conversations before that.
No, I think it was your way of like asking me to be your friend, was inviting me to your party.
Yes, I do that.
Yeah.
So on the way home from that party, Carly told the person who was giving her a ride that like she was going to start. She'd meant to start an all-girl band at that party and forgot to do it. And and then... I had coffee with that person later. Her name is Heather. And I had been having a conversation with the barista at the coffee shop, whose name was Shane. And he was trying to start a band, which would later become The Divorce. And he was trying to get me to play drums for it. And I told Heather I just could never play drums in a band with guys because I feel like I would feel too self-conscious to do it. And she said, you know, Carly was telling me she wanted to start an all-girl band. You should call her. And so I forget if you called me or I called you.
You called me.
I think I called you and was like, I heard you wanted to start a band. Let's do it. Let's start a band of all girls. And
I don't remember. I don't remember specifically it needing to be all girls, but I definitely meant to start a band while I was at the banding party.
Which only ladies are invited to the panty party.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Some background information about the panty party. It's like Secret Santa for panties.
Okay, it's not like used garments, right?
No.
Yeah.
A bunch of ladies get together and you're assigned someone else and you're given their measurements.
Okay.
And sizes. And you have to go out and buy something for them. A bra, panties, negligee, whatever it is. Something funky and fun, and then we all get together and drink and exchange gifts and try them on and have a party.
Can I come to one of these parties? Just as research.
Do you have a penis?
That can change.
Yeah, we will need to see proof.
You may not have a penis after attending the party.
Right. It shrink up into my body. Yep. So that was, you guys started this when then? That was 2000, 2001?
It was 2001.
Right? Okay.
I definitely had a similar experience too. That you know, I wanted to be in a band forever since
was this your
as
first
long
band?
As I could remember, and it was my first real band. You know, I had played music, you know, a little bit with guys. My cousin Gabe Archer and my brother Cameron Nicholas had a band, The Pale. Which was later the Pale Pacific, and they taught me how to play guitar and wrote songs with me. But I had a similar experience as, you know, Alyssa was talking about. Is just I just never felt totally comfortable. You know, I felt like I was always learning from them and just waiting and listening. And when Alyssa reached out to me and was like, "Let's do this," it was like, okay, well, she's never done this before. I've never done it before. So we can look stupid in front of each other, and
sure,
it's okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think the first couple of catch practices was just me and Carly.
Yeah.
And in the percussion room at Seattle Pacific, which I had just graduated from, just like guitar and drums, and both of us being like, "So was that a song? Do you think that was? You think that was a rock song that we just? What do you think? I don't know. You know, it was. Thinking back on it, I get really happy fuzzy feelings because we both learned together and taught each other
how
to do it.
Yeah. That's great. Well, let's do this. Ladies, let's take our second musical break. What should we play off of off of the album?
Empty Your Pockets.
Empty Your Pockets.
Or All About Me, the first song that was written and the first song I learned.
Yeah, let's do All About Me. That was the song Carly and I were playing just even when it was just the two of us. And it's
our first song.
Yeah, first ever.
Okay. All About Me. This is the catch. Playing for a one-time reunion on June 25th. I was trying to look up the song on my phone, and now I've lost it. I'm going to cut all this out.
Let's karaoke, ladies.
You can say one night only instead
one
of one time
only.
Ever.
One time ever. One time.
Last time.
Last time only ever. Again.
They will all be executed immediately after the show.
Catch. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Smoke. This would all make sense.
traffic today was awful. So coming from my day job, I come from Bellevue, and I take the bus over here. And I try to get here as quick as possible to clean things up a little bit before my guests get here. But when there's a gaggle of ladies that are coming over, I was like,
"That's what we're called."
Oh shit! Now, because like you know, there's dust bunnies all over the place.
No,
there's kids' toys everywhere. No. There isn't any more, Jenny, because I got here.
It's very clean.
And I was literally sweating before you guys got here, cleaning things up and sweeping and putting things away. So I hope
no kid toys at my house.
I was impressed. It paid off.
Carly?
Yeah.
Okay, thank
Absolutely.
You. See?
Immaculate.
Yes.
Yeah. Good job.
New best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
actually a line from Empty Your Pockets.
From a Blink.
I know it is.
Blink-182.
Oh. Oh, man. So, okay. So this album, Get Cool, came out in 2005, right?
Yes.
You guys were kind of on a upward swing, especially here in Seattle, from what I know. Explain to me like how... Once you all formed The Catch, you're all in the band, things are going well in the city, take me back.
The good old days.
Yeah, it was great. I think, the first kind of thing I remember is that our first tour, which was the West Coast tour, I booked it, I think.
Yes.
On my own.
That guy helped us, Stoner Dave.
Stoner Dave and I.
Stoner Dave, like this guy.
Booked the tour. But here's what I learned. I learned that if there was a really good photograph of us included, it was not hard to book shows.
Why do you think that is? Just because of the good photograph, people think that it's a professional thing, like you...
No, I think it's because we were ladies.
Because you were ladies.
That most of the people booking at clubs were thinking, oh, if we have some pretty ladies coming, it'll be easier.
Oh, God.
Which is one of the interesting things about... all being women is that there was the plus side to it, which is, you know, I have a hard time imagining all of the guys that were our friends getting as excited and donating as much equipment for their dude friends who were trying to start a band that didn't know how to do it.
Right.
I think it was easier for us to book out of town.
Well, that's why Tab never made it big.
And then there was like the photographer that wanted to.
You got
to,
it.
There are other reasons.
I don't know about that. But then there was like the photographer that wanted to get us all wet to do photo shoots. Do you remember that?
No.
I think it was the cover thing that ended up being us in.
Oh, the one where my nipple was on the cover.
Right, that one. After we promised that it wouldn't be.
She said, I think my nipple was in the photo. She's like, don't worry, I'll Photoshop that out. And she didn't. So I had half an areola on the cover of I think it was Performer Mag. I love the photographer though. It's Victoria Renard, and one of my favorite local photographers at the time. And she took these super sexy photos of us.
No, it was the tablet. The tablet was going to do photos of us, and their photo ideas were one. This was their big concept. We're going to get you all soaking wet and have you pretend to snort cocaine. That was their big idea for us. And I think we were all...
I do not remember that.
I remember it very, very well. Because I was thinking to myself, will it be cocaine? What will we be snorting?
Smarties.
I don't... Will it be...
Smarties.
Wait.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And then we decided we weren't comfortable being soaking wet on the cover.
We're right, like, cocaine we're okay with.
Yeah, it's like, well, if you got real stuff, we'll do that.
Yeah, how top quality are we talking?
That was before the internet, so.
right, yeah. So now you can't find that anywhere, right?
We didn't do it.
Oh, that one didn't get done.
No.
So your the nipple shot is something else.
Yeah, no, that must have been pre-me, because Tablet Magazine.
Yeah.
No, Tablet had been around, it had a kind of a brief life
is Tablet,
in the early aughts.
I don't even know what Tablet Magazine is.
It was
is that
a weekly,
a,
right?
It was an alternative weekly.
Here in Seattle? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was akin to the Stranger or the Seattle Weekly.
Right.
But it was more of a focus on music.
Absolutely, and art, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It was run by Eric and DeQuan, I think. I shot for them for a while.
Nice.
But I was not tasked with shooting The Catch. Those were not my ideas.
So, so what year was that? You guys are getting asked to do these cover photos for these weekly magazines and then for other magazines apparently, right?
Yeah, that was all. I feel like that was all toward, again, 2004, 2005.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember doing tablet stuff. I do remember the Performer Mag with Victoria. We were on the cover of Performer.
Yeah, well, I will never forget that. I was barely able to walk.
Oh, it was the day after Alyssa's bachelorette party.
Oh.
Which was epic. Let's just leave it there.
So, but okay. So back to the subject at hand here. You guys were starting to do some pretty cool stuff here in the city. People were starting to take notice. What does that feel like?
It felt great. I mean, I think I remember we were approached by Made in Mexico, which is our label,
mm-hmm.
and
which no longer exists, by the way, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
But it was run. I mean, the I guess big name behind
Silent Partner was Damian Dorado,
yeah,
and then Jessica Toon and Audra ran it.
I remember. I just couldn't believe that we finally.
Wait a minute. What? Say that again.
Jessica and Audra.
Tuna ran that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're shitting me.
We were on there with The Divorce and Delore. We were super flattered and excited and said, of course. And it was an exciting time. We had a lot of support, friend support. We're part of a really great community of musicians.
And fans. And, yeah. You know, people that were just amazing. Like, I think if you go and watch the music video, and that was something somebody just...
offered to do.
Mike Krosen just offered. He's like, I'd love to make a music video for you.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that happened, because going back and looking at it, it's like a yearbook of the people
family.
That were so important to us at the time.
Awesome. Yeah. And so, I mean, so things start going on the upward tick. Are you guys, what's going through your head at this point? Okay.
This is our town.
This is it.
Yeah. In
right?
fact, you
well,
know,
it's yeah. just like, this is the time of our lives. Like, this is the funnest, coolest thing that we could be possibly doing with our time.
Sure, yeah.
And we've just felt great, like amazing, great support everywhere we looked.
And things are clicking in the band, right?
I mean, yeah, people are just, we were doing great. And yeah. then it also felt like, I remember the other girls started being recognized around town. You know, like people would recognize Carly or Jenny.
My soundtrack for that time was Beauty and the Beat by the Go-Go's, and I mm-hmm. fucking loved, this town is our town, this town's so glamorous. I fucking loved it. I always wanted us to cover that. We never did, but I
yeah,
just
we should.
Did.
Maybe, well, we've That's... got a little bit of time before June 25th, ladies.
It's not our town anymore.
This town's not our town. This town's
Just
not
kidding.
Glamorous.
I think it's still pretty glamorous.
Be one of us.
I love this. I love this. So, okay. So, I mean, were things going well outside of Seattle too, or was it just Seattle? Were you gaining more of a following here, or were you playing shows outside of town at that time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We toured
Portland,
a handful of times. Yeah, we played. We had a West Coast tour. We had a Cut the Country in Half on the West Side tour.
Yeah.
And then a full on domestic tour.
Had any of you been on tour at that point before?
Before
the Catch?
No.
I think all of our first tour was The Catch's first tour, which
uh-huh.
we booked ourselves.
And how long
was
that?
Yeah, which was just, it was really short. Like, 5 dates, I think.
It's all okay. California. It was California
yeah.
and Oregon.
So like a week.
Yeah.
About
no, it's more like 2 weeks.
I think we
yeah.
probably took our time.
Okay.
But it wasn't a ton of dates. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what was that experience like? First tour.
It was good.
Going out with your best friends.
We had great dates. I think we played the Casbah in San Diego that tour.
Yep.
Right?
We
yeah.
played,
did we play the Silver Lake?
The Silver Lake
Lounge. Silver Lake
Lounge.
John Henry's down in Eugene.
And it went well?
I mean, we didn't have a record to sell.
Nothing.
We didn't have...
No reputation.
You know, nothing.
You didn't have
anything.
Anything. You didn't have an EP or
no,
anything?
No, it was
nothing.
Like, we're a band. What we're supposed to do is go on tour. Yeah. I think... No, do we maybe have an EP by then?
I think we made an EP with the help of Andrea Fleming, who is now Andrea Chapman. She helped us...
Well, we recorded with Eric Blood.
Did we record the EP?
I love that guy.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he do the EP? Oh.
Yeah. He was the first person to record us. Right?
I love him too.
I love Eric.
You remember?
He is one of my favorite musicians here in town.
I remember where it was, but I think I was so nervous about recording. And it wasn't like in his house. When we recorded the album, we
it was at a studio in Belltown.
Yeah,
it was called something X.
Yeah, Eric's always been hot shit, so
he's pretty great.
It can be a little, maybe a little intimidating. We recorded in Belltown, but then we also recorded in Mount Baker.
Yeah, we also recorded
with him. So we recorded an EP with Eric Blood. At that time, his reputation was being in the turn-ons. Since then, he's become really well respected producer and musician.
Yeah. Have you heard you've heard Touchscreens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that album.
So when we recorded so we had an EP and our friend Andrea helped us silk screen all of these covers, mm-hmm. and we were able to sell something on tour in the beginning. And then when it came to recording a full length, we split it half between Eric, which we chose songs that we thought were best fit for him, and then the other half with Cameron Nicholas, Carly's brother, we recorded up in Bellingham, and the songs that we thought were best fit for him. And
was that weird though, working with two different producers?
My idea when we recorded that record was to work with different producers.
Uh huh.
You know, I think
just to get a different feel for like
so many people had been kind of a part of our band without actually being in our band by, you know, teaching us to play our instruments, by donating equipment to us. And a lot of the music that I was listening to, like hip hop records, had tons of different producers on them. So I kind of had this idea of working with different people who have felt invested in The Catch and wanted to record us, you know?
Yeah,
and I really liked the idea of giving them some, you know, artistic creative freedom to bring what they wanted to the table. You know, that was kind of the idea initially behind recording with more than one producer.
Yeah, yeah.
So ultimately it ended up being Cameron and Eric.
And Eric, which is amazing because the first time I ever recorded, I was so freaking nervous to play in front of somebody that was a professional. It ruined everything. Like, I feel like recording actually ruined our music.
In that way, Cam was a really wonderful choice for us because
you knew him, right?
We knew him. We felt safe with him. The first time The Catch ever played, we played a Weezer cover night at Sit and Spin.
Oh, my God.
If you remember those days.
Never got to go there, but I know what it is.
And we couldn't really pull together Pink Triangle on our own. And so Cam stepped in and also played guitar with us. And that was the first time I met him. And anyone would feel safe playing in front of him or working with him. He's just this gentle genius. So it was a great introduction to it. Eric is amazing and slightly more intimidating for me. But by the time we got to him, I felt more confident.
And he's such a sweet guy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like he would put you at ease real quick.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think both of them are good at putting you at ease in the studio. Uh-huh. And
so your brother, sorry. Your brother is a musician as well.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a musical household then?
Yeah. Absolutely. My grandpa played the guitar since he could hold a guitar his whole life. Later my dad played drums in a band with my grandpa playing guitar and singing and my uncle playing keyboards. My mom is an amazing piano player and singer. My uncle, I have two uncles on either side.
They're genius. Yeah, family realm here. Okay.
Yeah, I come from a very musical family.
Yeah. What about you guys? What, Jenny?
Yeah.
You come from a musical, artistic family?
Oh, I should say that my dad's cousin is in the Kingsmen.
What? Oh,
that's right.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, and when we were recording in Bellingham, there was a photograph of Carly's father's band from I don't even know what era, but it was a long fucking time ago. I can guess, right?
Yeah, totally.
Now that my dad and grandpa are going to be wanting this.
let me guess now. I remember seeing a young Mr. Nicholas.
That's so cool.
On the wall, very handsome man with his all male band.
Were the Kings? I can't. Okay, we got to go back to this Kingsmen thing. Were the Kingsmen the first? They're one of those bands that like was rumored to first record House of the Rising Sun, right?
Louie.
Oh, Louie.
Yeah.
Okay, pretty much the same thing, kind of.
Is it?
No, it's totally different song. But it's kind of the same thing where there were like 800 bands that recorded the same friggin' song.
And, yeah, they didn't. Nobody they didn't knows write which. It.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah,
one, you yeah. can figure out the lyrics to. The other one, you have no fucking clue.
You have no idea what it.
That's means. The main difference. Right.
That's so cool. And Alyssa, you mentioned earlier that you were going to Seattle Pacific.
Yeah, that's right? where I did my undergraduate work.
Okay. Were you majoring because you had access to the music building, apparently?
I didn't major in percussion, but I had a percussion scholarship. So I was classically trained. I've been my family's also quite musical. My mother was the minister of music, choir director at the church that I grew up going to. Uh-huh. My brother is a jazz pianist who's very good. And I had chosen drums in fourth grade. You know, fourth grade is the grade where you decide if you're going to be in band, what instrument you play. Yeah. And I picked that one because I didn't like the idea of blowing on things, like trumpets and so forth. And just, you know, extrapolate.
She's really good at it now.
Yeah. That's private. But... Yeah, so I chose drums because it was a thing I didn't see a lot of other girls doing. And cool, I wanted to do... I liked doing stuff that girls didn't traditionally do. So I played drums. I was trained in classical percussion. And in undergraduate, my favorite instrument was solo marimba. And I performed with that instrument. But I'd never... I tried jazz band in high school, and the problem was that I was so used to reading music that I didn't know how to do solos where it just was like improvised. I'd get there and be like frozen, kind of like, could you just write out something that you'd like me to...
something in front of you.
Right. Yeah. So that was one of the gifts that playing rock and roll really gave me was I got to write what I wanted to and learn how to do that sort of improvisational work, which I think helped me gain flexibility and the ability to improvise in other areas of my life as well.
Awesome. I like that. Yeah.
I grew up in a fairly musical family. My father did a lot of musical theater growing up. So we always sang show tunes in the car. And I was always in choir and I danced for a long time. So I'm very used to being on stage and being a performer, but a little bit more of improvisational style. So I sang jazz for a long time. In college, and then I was singing at a winery for a while at the end of my college years, and I came to Seattle and learned how to play acoustic guitar a little bit. Started writing novice-type songs. I played it at an open mic in Ballard, and I was in a band before The Catch.
What?
With this woman, Brenda...
I have your CD at home.
You do? Yeah. It's called Daughters of Joy with this woman, Brenda Scallon.
Daughters of Joy.
Sounds like a little bit like a cult, honey.
Well, I was... My photography mentor, Sandra Valencia, had a space on Ballard Ave, and I rented darkroom space from her and her business partner, who ran the coffee cart in the place, and also... collaborated in art direction because it was a gallery. It was Brenda Scallon, and she had a side band, and she heard me sing at some point, and she asked me to record in her album. So I did some backup vocals on her album, played maybe like three shows with her, and you know, not much else came of it. But The Catch is really, I consider my first band, real band. But yes, I've slept around.
Is that like when people rededicate their virginity?
Exactly.
So they can lose it on their wedding night.
A born again band member.
So all of you guys, since The Catch has kind of disbanded, all of you ladies have gone on to do some pretty cool things. So let's start, Alyssa. Let's start with you. What are you doing now, and working towards?
So I am about to finish my master's degree. It's called the Master's of Divinity, which is the degree that you're required to have to be an ordained minister in many of the mainline churches. And I will be ordained as an Episcopal priest in July, actually, shortly after our show. So that's been most of the last 5 years. I've been in school for 5 years working on that.
We're friends on Facebook, and I've been following your travels during this whole thing, and it's taken you to some pretty cool places.
It has, right? I went on a pilgrimage to Israel this past February.
That's amazing.
I did some academic presentations at a national conference in Baltimore before that. It's been really wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. Well, good for you.
Thanks.
And now I feel like really self-conscious for saying the F word earlier.
You know, the great thing about being Episcopalian is that you can say fuck if you need to.
Really?
Yeah.
They're progressive.
Yeah. I love that religion.
I mean, I hope everyone will still come if I tell you that my bishop might show up
The
show. Right.
Does that make you nervous?
They're the most progressive diocese in the country.
It's he's been fully informed, and I made him watch the music video. So
Okay, good.
I think he's good. I think he's good. He's a pretty hip guy.
Yeah. And Carly, what have you gone on to after the band?
Well, my life is pretty much exactly the same. I play in The Catch, and I work at Vane downtown as a hairstylist.
But in between, she went to New York City, found a hot man, and came back.
Yeah, I moved away for a little while.
Yeah. Had to get out of Seattle for a little bit.
But now I'm back. I moved back in the fall, just this fall.
Oh, really?
And it's so good to be back. Yeah. I'm really happy here.
Well, good.
Yeah.
How long had you been gone?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
And why come back? To play a Catch reunion show?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. The girls wanted to do a reunion show, and I said,
well, moving back.
Give me 6 hours.
We could not live any longer without her.
Is that it? Seriously though, like family, friends coming back to Washington.
Really moving back. You know, an opportunity came up to move back to Seattle, and it was an easy decision to make. My family is here. My brother just had a baby. I love it. I really love it here. You know, moving away was just about kind of, you know, making a change and getting out of my comfort zone. But, you know, this is my town, remember?
Yeah, that's right. You guys got to sing that song.
This town is our town.
She's going to sing it right now.
The next, how about the next musical break? Fuck the Catch songs. We're just going to play the Go-Go's.
So, Jenny, what have you been up to? You still, you kept up the photography business, correct?
Yeah, my photography business blew up. I no longer have that day job at the UW since 2010. Mm-hmm. I paid off $40,000 worth of debt.
Boom.
And
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's good.
I'm back in the hole for about 10 grand, but... But, you know.
Who isn't?
Yeah. Everyone's allowed.
Only 10?
Yeah,
right.
It's all business debt. None of it's personal.
But now you do, so you're still doing like wedding photography and.
Yeah, well, I do all kinds of photography.
You do rock photography too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's how I got my start. And I don't think, if I wasn't, at the time I was an in-house photographer for The Crocodile and The Showbox when I met you guys. And I don't think that I would have met you if I hadn't, you know, picked up music photography. At the time I met them, I was shooting a ton of music. I was shooting for The Stranger, and like I said, for The Showbox and The Crocodile, and then kind of slowly morphed what I was doing. And these days I do a lot of portrait photography, all kind of documentary in my approach. And still weddings, it's the bulk of what I do, but I still shoot a lot of musicians. I work for Barsuk a fair amount.
Yeah.
And take some commercial clients. And.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I told you this too. I don't know if I emailed you or what, but it may have been after the first time we actually met in person. But I was flipping through some of your photos either on Facebook or somewhere else. I can't remember. And I was like, oh my God, I've seen like a lot of these photos already around town and, you know, in the past.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed.
I've been shooting music since 1999, so hopefully you've seen some of my stuff.
Right, right.
Otherwise, I'm not doing it right. So.
Yeah.
The photography I've put a lot of concentration in.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Thanks.
Alyssa, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just gonna say that she's really good.
This is just a love fest going on right now.
It's true. I was curious. Wasn't my wedding was one of the first ones that you did, right?
I shot your wedding in
2005.
My first wedding was September 15th, 2001.
Okay.
Yeah, their photographer was grounded in Chicago because of 9/11.
Mm.
And I said, okay, I'll take care of that. Me and my partner at the time, we had ran a photography business, and we drove out to Leavenworth and shot the wedding.
Oh, cool.
And it was very similar to Rock Show. I had no control over the lighting or what was going on.
Yeah.
Drunk uncles were hitting on me, and people were stepping on me and pouring beer on my gear.
Yeah.
So I felt very much at home. But the difference was people actually gave a shit about the photos.
Yeah.
And they cried when I gave them the photos. You know, no one ever cried over a photo of Slater Kinney. So I was like, oh, there's something in this. I'm getting something back. Okay.
Right.
But yeah, it's slowly.
You're like the comedian that actually gets laughs.
Yeah. I'm getting rewarded for this. So, you know, that intermittent reward makes me want to do it more.
Sure.
So I never consider myself a wedding photographer until 2007. So it was quite 6 years in between. But in between, everything I shot was word of mouth. All the weddings I shot was word of mouth, and Alyssa was one of them. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Alyssa's... So before we take off here, I did want to ask you guys one thing. It's been a while since you've played these songs, right? And getting back into it, practicing again, do the songs still have the same meaning for you as you play them now?
Yeah.
Still feels the same? Like, was it like just putting on an old awesome pair of slippers?
It was awkward at first.
Yeah?
I think I would listen to them when we weren't playing, in the intervening 9 years. And my body would remember, like, I would want to play it. And then we got back together to play, and it was harder than I thought it was going to be. I hadn't really played drums at all in the time. But I think, you know, a few weeks ago, something clicked for us. And for me, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
Which is how it felt before.
Good.
You know, a lot of those same emotions come up at various points. About half the songs lyrically are written by Carly, or a little more than half are written by Carly, and a little less than half are written by me. And so it's fun for me to remember what I was feeling when I wrote those words, or what I was feeling the first time I heard Carly sing or go through the things that she wrote. It's a blast.
That's awesome. Carly, what about you?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, taken a little bit of time to remember how to play the songs and to, you know, get comfortable playing them together. But I remember exactly, you know, the meaning behind them, you know, comes right back. Like,
yeah,
I remember exactly how that feels. I remember exactly what I was thinking about and picturing on certain lyrics, or like, you know, even, you know, figuring out the chords that were going to go along with the melody. It all comes right back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun.
Is it, have there been any times though, where you're like, oh my God, how did that go?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with everything, it's like, takes a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But that muscle memory comes back, and then you're, you know, you don't even have to think about it. That feels great. Yeah. Like Alyssa was saying, you know, at some point it just clicks and it feels really good.
Good.
It's a bit of a scrapbook of our lives at the time. I think there were three, there are three songs that were written by the previous bass player before I joined the band that we still play. And those I have my own attachments to, because yeah, they're some of the first songs I ever learned on bass. But the other ones, I was a part of the writing of, and I know the history behind, I know the meaning behind, and they're like a little time capsule of what our lives were like at that time. You know, each of the songs are very autobiographical.
Sure. Yeah.
It may not be obvious, I mean, but it's obvious to us.
Yeah. Sure. I like that. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me in the backyard.
Can we just give a quick shout out to Amy, our keyboardist?
Yes,
that couldn't be here. She is a talented interior designer, and she was pulled away on a very important project. She was supposed to be here but couldn't make it. So. Yeah.
She's really funny too. Yeah. So probably would have been a lot better if she would have been here.
I think everyone listening should stop and like tell themselves the funniest joke they've ever heard and laugh at it. And like you would have done that at least once, twice, maybe even three times if Amy had been here.
No, this has been great. It's like, you know, sometimes when I sit in this chair, I have to run the conversation. I will tell you that having more than just a one-on-one makes me very nervous because sometimes you can't control it, right? And it's just blah, 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 blah. But you guys, this has been really cool because since this is, you know, we're leading up to your reunion show that you're going to be playing, you haven't played together for a long time, and hearing you guys banter back and forth about, like, you know, what it was like back in 2001, 2002, and stuff like that. That's been really cool to hear. So thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And
our
I hope
pleasure.
You had a good time.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
So fun. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Yeah, so let's do this. Third musical break, Carly.
Oh, after party.
After party.
Cheers.
It'll be happening here everyone. In the studio. Cheers. And my wife's going to come back here and be like, whoa, what's this? And
who
I'm
drank
be like,
all the Jameson?
We did.
It's a brawn
panty party.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
The panty
sure.
Party.
Okay, what should we play for our last song?
It should be after party.
After party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a song our music video was.
After the show, it's the after party.
And after the party,
it's not about a boy. This song is about all the
life on
it's
the hill.
It's more about a moment. It's about a moment.
It's about a moment.
Yeah.
All right,
it's about a
cool.
moment in time.
All right.
It's about. The specific moment is about 1:50 a.m.
1:50 a.m. Capitol Hill.
All right, perfect.
2004.
Perfect. I love it. This is The Catch off of their album Get Cool from 2005. It's called After Party. And thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can go to our archives page at air-raid.net and check out all the past episodes. With comedians like Bob Saget, Jim Brewer, Pete Holmes, Eddie Pepitone, and musicians like Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie.
Woo!
Yeah, right? Right?
Ew,
Damian Jurado, who used to own a record label that
Made
The Catch
Mexico.
Was on.
Ew.
What about The Catch? The Catch has been on this show. You can check that out as well.
We're going to be in your archives.
That's right. You're in the archives now, ladies. Ooh. Never going away.
Oh,
never going
no.
away.
Fuck.
Finally, we've achieved archival status.
Finally made it.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for listening. Get Cool from 2005. This is After Party.
Buy
and this
never.
Has been the Air Raid podcast, and we have drunken a little bit too much. So we'll see you next time.
We'll do it all again, we'll do it again, again. Chips on a